just the time of the year, I'm thinking about her a lot. Coit, my childhood friend, who's in memoriam. But Bandon Woods, just having this fabulous time growing up with this girl. And my mother's voice is in there, and her grandmother's voice, and all that. It's a pantoum, so be warned, it's going to be repeating itself. It's called Our Guardian Angels. We were wild and blessed and fed on fallen nuts when we played in the trees overhanging the river. How we didn't meet our deaths, I do not know. We could have got pneumonia or been poisoned or drowned when we played in those trees overhanging the river. We concocted perfumes and potions with rainwater and weeds, and we could have got pneumonia or been poisoned or drowned. We could have broken our necks or set fire to ourselves, concocting our perfumes and potions from rainwater and weeds, and making torches with twine and melted candles on sticks. We could have broken our necks or set fire to ourselves or been sucked underwater, never to surface again. With our makeshift torches and twine and metal candle on sticks, tied deep in the reeds of the slippery stones, we dipped our jam jars. We could have been sucked underwater, never to surface again, never to survive, to grow to fear the thought of lying deep in the reeds on the slippery stones with our jam jars. How we didn't meet our deaths, I do not know, but we survived to grow. We never thought to fear when we fed on fallen nuts and were wild and blessed. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. And now we will have Hollis.
I'm gonna do a song, and because it's a guitar, I might just do it unplugged, so we'll see how it works. So this song is this song is called Doubt, and it's written about my 2018, which is objectively the kind of worst shit show of my life. I think that's a bit of a mood for everyone, but I was meeting up with friends. I moved to England for university, and I occasionally come back. And I think I spent less than a month in the country in the last like 3 years. And I come back and I tell the story of this last year in 2018. I had two failed operations on my wrist, so my wrist shakes now. And I had my grandmother die, and in the same week I moved back home, and my family had moved house, so I never got to say goodbye to my family home. And throughout all of this, I sort of kept saying to the universe, well, it could always be worse, and then second operation failed. And I was like, ah, shit, I should probably stop saying that. But this song is sort of about how even though that was one of the worst times of my life, it still managed to be amazing. So it's that. So I'm going to step away, a step in front of this, and play the song to you, because it's now quiet.
Tired of the same damn games that I'm playing every day in my brain. But you're taking all my pieces, and it's almost too late, and I fear it might be checkmate. Right to laugh and cry at the same damn time. And maybe it's right for me to let it go. And maybe it's time, maybe it's not. But if it is, I will give it everything. Yeah. on myself. Try to be like that picture I have of myself. Maybe I should listen to my own breath and follow the advice I would give. Taking all my pieces, it's almost too late. And I fear it might be checkmate soon. But maybe it's right to laugh and cry at the same damn time. And maybe it's right for me to let it go. The same damn time. I'll be working upon my life, so I'll be alright.
I think you're doing just fine, Hollis. Picking up for 2019. So next up we have Stephen Roach, please.
I'm not sure what to read, so I'll give you choice. This is what I usually think. Thank you very much. I'm going to give you choice. So one about the color of bright blue, or one about winter, which loads imagery in it. How many can I read, actually?
I'd say maybe one.
One, and
I
can read it to anyone?
One, and if there's room at the end, we can get you back on.
Sweet. Sure, I'll do Winter Wonderland. I sail under the tree, in hope of catching a glimpse of the silver, shimmering moonlight flourishing through its remaining leaves. Luminescent light glittering across the lake like a warm sun ambiently shining on the scales of a mermaid's tail. As leaves descend from the treetop, falling around me, fluttering to the ground like butterflies about to land on a bed of flowers. Finally, the clouds have fully unsheathed their queen. I feel her cleansing light shine on both of us. I was completely captivated in this moment. Just then I realized the tree had gone bare. The lake began to freeze over. The tree started to shiver. I asked him, "Are you okay, my friend?" I got no reply. The shivering stopped. It laid still. Then the air began to get thin. I started to freeze. I huddled towards the remnants of this great tree in hopes of it being with me to the end. It was silent now and cold. A figure appeared and walked towards me, my vision blurred, a sheet of ice covering my eyes. As he approached me, he whispered, "I am winter, I feel my chill." With that, I lost consciousness and faded into an icy sleep in a fairy tale land, this majestic tree, forever rooted together to the next spring, where we are set free again from the captivating, moonlit winter's eve. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. And now we might have another song, perhaps. Sam, are you up for a song?
I
don't have a capo, but I have guitar picks.
Okay. For guitar. naked down your hallways. Remember the whispering. Baby, they're singing you sweet songs. Remember how that feels. Time's long gone. Oh, the river rolls on.
And now we will have
Charles Clark.
I was shocked to discover when I looked at this that it was printed in 1980. This is by one of our leading poets. It's been going on a very long time, Paul Muldoon. Muldoon is very fond of this poem by Bromley Left. This is actually titled, what is called by Bromley Left, and he has been known to read here, I think. I think you may have read it here. There's another very short one which I read first. And since we were on the subject of the country not being quite...
Can you read one, Charles? One?
Okay, I'll read it. It's very short. Okay, Ireland. The Volkswagen parked in the gap was gently ticking over. You wonder if it's lovers and not men hurrying back across two fields and a river.
Thank you, Charles. I'm afraid we are running out of time. That's my fault. I am officially the worst MC for keeping time. So I apologize. Really?
Yeah.
Oh. So next up we have Patricia Walsh, please.
This is called Life in Exile After Application. This non-therapeutic adage dices the weather, picking up nightmares when ready. Run-on statements ran in main fallow, rotating around this corrosion highly strung. This is the wolf, black fox we're commemorating. Pure as driven slush, no more to walk on. Warmth of a coffee going towards nowhere. Last remaining sliced pen, a trophy in itself. Distinctive voices covering a multitude. Her perfect right to life lighting its open corners. Focus on the hard-earned, never mind dull-faced. Shunting under tables, miniature tempest and thrall. This unified republic promises everything. Long after the party is over, satisfied. Trained to some innocence, lightly salted. Measuring your own fanfares, that bit is true. Packaged under guile, hormonal though maybe. Hammered in submission like a prospective wife. Not sought the right man, yet time is telling. Straightening out, a discipline wanting the prize. Home of the mathematical and cubic thrall. Official engagement sours its purpose away. Quest for a man misunderstood in all accounts. Bare tooth in horror, spirit of the city. Another program, problem on the finger, salt on the road. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Edward O'Dwyer, who came all the way from Limerick, get up here.
Really glad I came all the way from Limerick. that was absolutely amazing. I won't forget that soon. If it's all right, I'm going to do very short fiction, a flash fiction. Mistresses were cropping up earlier. I thought I'd bring us right back down to that level. this is a book called Cheat Sheets, and very basically, it's 108 stories of infidelity. And they're all dark comedies, and If any of these things have happened to any of you, very impressive. I'll get on with it. This one's called Serious. When are you going to get serious? She asked. Her voice with that had it up to here with you quality so many women are experts at. This was a few years ago, and the question had taken me by surprise in a big way. I felt sure then that all aspects of our relationship were great. I suddenly began living in fear of losing her, and made a conscientious effort to stop making all the silly jokes it occurred to me to make, hoping that this would please her. I got a complete new wardrobe, very austere, sensible ensembles, greys and beiges, nothing garish. I applied for a promotion at work and got it, with a handsome increase in salary and benefits, including a fancy company car. There were plenty more long evenings to put in at the office, but the way I saw it, each one reaffirmed just how deadly serious I'd become. How could she not be very, very impressed? I arrived home a little earlier than expected one evening and thought to pick up some flowers and a good French wine on the way. When I entered the living room, thinking to find her there, there was only a clown sat drinking a can of beer, starkers naked but for the elaborate makeup on his face, a plastic red nose and some big floppy shoes. He was grinning at me from ear to ear. "Listen, honey, this really isn't at all what it looks like," she began to explain after arriving through the other door from the kitchen and finding me there. She quickly gave up, though, seeing by the pain on my face that I wasn't about to be fooled by any flimsy excuse. "I'm so sorry," she gasped. "It's just that you've become so serious over the past few years." "I do still love you, but the man I fell in love with was just so much fun." The clown, still sitting there on our sofa with his genitals exposed, took a long, noisy swig of his beer, watching us, grinning. "I mean, take now, for instance," she went on. "You just look so bloody serious."
Thank you, Ed. And next is Luke O'Rourke, I think.
Class stuff so far. I was saying to Rachel there a second ago, I thought it was really funny. So I arrived a little bit late, but I caught the end of Rachel's performance, which was class, by the way, I think everyone agrees. But the poem about the Japanese lover experience kind of thing, I just went to Asia recently myself, and I've got, like, I had already thought this was already, I had chosen to read this poem before I came here, so it's kind of freaky. So it's kind of like, yeah, a different version of the same thing, I guess. I call it Irish Goodbye. I wrote it in two parts, actually. I see myself through your eyes, cleaning my room, watering my plants, refraining from a lazy release before showering, water seeping through my hair, eyes closed, and using your soap from chest to toes, brushing my teeth to myself and back again. They're almost black, and not a wrinkle around them, soft gold and framed, and a blossom clear white, white part around the attention-giving abyss. I say white part because cornea just couldn't live up to their beauty. And in yogic rest, lying back on the floor with my knees up to my chest, I picture reading this to you, into your ear, with the book open in front of us, and full of endorphins gifted to me by your being, by all being. I have found something new about being, and it's amazing. It's full of love. But I didn't read this supposedly finished expression to you because it felt irresponsible with time, because I grew to feel that you loved me and that I loved love. And enchanted as I am, the fairies got to me long ago. And although I've before taken to a single soul and flown, my hugging arms have since been lifted to the skies and the wind that blows, and melodies which flow with the tease of increasing ease. The earth and its energies have married me, and you're amazing. But to be so confronted with two through your eyes so close to mine, and with talks of three, just as I become one, how can I tell you how I feel? As I plan to leave and you nurse my slight cough and help me create. I can't stay, I don't want you to wait, and I feel too concerned for giving to take you. And so yes, I found something new about being, and it's amazing, and it's full of love, and I must love it from afar, with a space between our pounding hearts, in a space where darkness does not bring us closer to one another, in a space where your taste may be replaced, but not your place in space. You are still you, with your taste, with your curious grace, just the way. But not today. Today I will hold you again, all at once, and say how I feel to say, like a ship leaning into the sway, unafraid, moving with the way. Teenage loving was awfully fun, but I love you better now than I've loved before. And you're not the first girl that I thought could be the one, but I need you less, and so it feels more pure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Now we have Mary O'Connor, please.
Thanks, Rosie. First fortnight is drawing to a close, but before it does, I have this. I was a member of a thing called the Monday Group, and we gathered and poured our hearts out to one another. So this is called Opening Up. A hired room, the haven where we gather to unpick the cozy pattern of our days. Here, yelps of helpless laughter break the tuft of tasted tears. Those at the cutting edge dismiss our weekly gatherings, comment in some amusement as we crawl through the gridlock of our pain. Life's taut tapestry has snagged so many times for us. We blink at gaping holes where stitching came adrift. Our masks fall off. We shift from head to heart, letting each other see frayed remnants of once proud ambitions. When we have emptied out the dregs, undone the knot of tightness in the chest, found solidarity with those who heard our tale, we move out again to deal with fresh uncertainties.
Thank you, Mary. And now we have Rob O'Donoghue, please. And if we could keep it short enough now for the next two poems, that'd be great. Rob O'Donoghue, please. Thank you.
I was at war with myself, I thought I could handle it. I was at bar with myself, I knew I could handle it. Because when I meet the bar, and I always win the war, with a vacant stare at the stars sat on the windowsill. And then pa-pa-pa-pa-pa, the windows are gone. But do I hear only my favourite song? That's two of a couple arguing who was in the wrong. And it turns out I'm in the wrong, because I just put a window out, and the Gardaí have shown. Up, it's not just for a quick sup, it's for me. That's the difference between criminal damage and looking at a scene with glee. There was a glint of cuffs. There was a glint of cuffs and rights and signs getting told. So I just rolled right out the window. Knew it was a sin though, but I just wanted that drop. At war with myself, I nearly just topped myself. Managed to pick myself up and stroll. Suspicious and questioning looks were thrown. Bruised and bloody, maybe broken. one or two bones. Anyway, all I know is that I got away with it. Red balloons floating in the air because I was hit before it. Just wrote that 5 minutes ago.
Experiment. Hope I could do it with looking at the sheet and off by heart at the same time. Because I need more hands than two. No, I don't want you to clap too. Because no offense, you can clap at the end. A bat's equality. Moths will suckle nectar from the sky. We echo webs to catch moths to a lips. The light bulbs consumes us in its eye. We web echoes to catch moths to a lips. Moths buds from the portal of a light bulb. It's a circle of life, and all of us clap. As the nectar sky adorns a coat of navy leather, we leave our home and sew sonic waves into maps. I read sound waves as you see colors. I hear them curl around the lands and the moons. I curve in beaches of vibrating raisins resonating. Everything claps. Everything claps. Everything claps. As you light bulbs might object and objectify your souls, we clappers into existence. At day when the nectar sky becomes a honey spread, we clap our souls to the same chord. And if a bat has no wings or cannot fly, we can pitch our clap to its heartbeat with the moths and the light bulbs. In time, we all clap equally. Clap now. What equality is, that's how we do it.
Now we have Ciarán McCartin, please.
Thanks, Bob. There's a dance artist, Siobhan Eden-Ean, and she had a performance at the start of December, and she asked me to write a response to it. This was the response that I wrote to it. The dance performance is called Antoku, and this is called Millennia Seeking Infancy. I long to know the shape of home, hear its beat, feel its sound, recognize it from those of others, ground my energy there, an earth cable connecting vibrations to a central source, a point to start from and end at, a circuit's final link and first break, access to the eternal. I long to burrow into it, feel the movement of insects through topsoil, hear the slow extension of roots, for my skin to feel soil as its kin, bones to know stones as brothers, each eye a leaf comfortable in soft gaze among leaves, muscles flexing as stems towards the sun, bending in sync as a bowing ensemble thanking its audience. Cawil Mavinta, Ke Olevard Mahyanga. Here I lie on plastic grass, look at acrylic plants, the stars insulted by fairy lights, senses lied to. Here the ground is hard and I hear nothing in it. It prints itself on my ear. Music described in rough words and brazen phrases without being played nor heard. I long to know the shape of home, feel it in me, but it spills in every direction and rolls away from me like a coke can down a hill until I can no longer hear it. Melds into the air like the last hope of a cigarette, shapeshifts and drifts. I can conjure it in words, step on it in dance, recognize it in a familiar laugh. Ekshasav, Ekdausa, Ekgoira. Bury me with my own, those other conjurers of home. Take me to see and empty the water that knows me as place. Make me a house, a cavern, a container for those that needn't know that which I have never known. Lay me to rest, make me a home.
I'm really, really sorry to the people that are still on the list because we've gone quite over time. So I'm just going to go for one more person. So apologies to Max Creedon and Killian O'Regan. We're going to have our five-word challenge winner up because she's last on the list. And I'm apologies to the other guys there, but we're over time. So Alana, will you come up and finish off the night?
Yay! So I wrote a love poem because it's cheating and stuff. And so there's this wonderful person in my life, and he's a great friend, and he reminds me of the stars, and I wanted to write something about him. And yeah, I know, it's so cheesy. I wrote him this as a New Year's present. So this is called Consolatius, which means studded with stars in Latin. It was an accident of history, a mystery to how some celestial being blew wisps across a Corvus-coloured picture. To Pollock's style, a night of joined the dots for us. In absolute lust with this godly guide to life. For hundreds of thousands of years, people yearned to see themselves in paradise's picture book. To see someone simultaneously burning up and being beautiful. Our gleaming solar sister in her very best flapper dress, twirling pearls around her neck. Twirling a front of Mercury, asking should she invest in green lights, red, white, and blue ones too. All giants fall to myth with the alchemy of their age. Man takes control of the sky, supple-breasted supply of unexplored places to claim as home. As if these entire spaces have not rights to change, leaving war prints on planets and planes, a conquest with little flags parlayed for pieces of 88. But while this gigantomachy unfolds before our eyes, the dark of the June and December sky blushes innocently as she changes her hemispheres. We watch on, our heads grounded in pillows, tufts of earth in one another, but never reality. For in our lifetime, the stars will stay the same. The face of heaven will gleam that half-drunk smile, no matter what lies we tell her. She knows what we did. It's a secret between her, us, and the elixir that dribbles through the morning curtains. But she is as human as we. All things can be rendered unrecognizable with time. Her face will shift. Her lips may droop, or she might call for cosmic Botox. Her eyes will burn from blue to amber to gray. And this is why, in this moment, things are meant to be, because blue is the warmest colour in the night, and your eyes are the closest thing I'll ever come to kissing stars, and I shall not stand corrected if this ink was not destined to be spilled across this way. Perhaps we are one of the same constellation. I hope a nova waiting to blow the naysayers away. But maybe we are just two comets. Two stars with better things to do with our journeys out of this life. And for this fraction of the horologium, our paths cross. We burn in unison, warm off each other's flames, fulfilled in knowing that we are not alone. We are not lone adamantine wranglers of another year gone by. We cannot rearrange the sky no more than we can rearrange each other, no matter more than how long it took to cartograph this architecture of feelings from the welcome of my core. But for now, it's ours to share, set with delicate droplets of Empyrean glue, holding my world to yours. It was no accident of history or mystery that I was meant to meet you. Thank you.
Pretty good one to end out on, I'd say. I mean, really sorry, Killian and Mags. Come back next week, and we'll definitely fit you in first. So thanks everybody for participating, and a special thanks to Rachel Hickerson.